GalaxyCon Live is the place for you to hear about fandom from the celebrities who bring geek culture to life.
Welcome, friends and fans, to another edition of GalaxyCon Live, where we are bringing the convention experience directly to you. And today, we are going back to Toronto with some amazingly talented guests from Degrassi, The Next Generation. So without further ado, let's head on down to Degrassi Community School and see who we find. Our first guest is an actress who joins us today to discuss the role of the Mercurial Ashley. Please welcome Melissa McIntyre.
Hello. How are you?
Good, Melissa. How are you doing?
I'm so excited. This is my first time doing anything like this. So thank you. And I'm really excited to just chat with some friends and fans.
So the pleasure is absolutely ours. Is everything good in your corner of the world?
It is what it is, but still trucking through it and making the best of it. So yeah.
We were in the tunnel, then we got out of the tunnel. Now we're into a new tunnel, but I'm convinced that tunnel is going to be smaller and we'll get through that like we got through the last
Fingers
one.
Fingers crossed, yes.
I cling to the audacity of optimism. But Melissa,
me too.
So glad to have you here in good health and a good spirit. And yes, let's absolutely bring out our next guest. He is an actor who joins us today to discuss the role of the challenged Gavin, better known as Spitter. Please welcome Shane Kippel.
Hello, hello, hello. Bring back that backstage music. I was getting down to that for a little
bit. It's a good jam. It is.
It got me pumped.
Yeah. Shane, how are you, boss?
I'm good. Patty, how are you doing today?
I am well. I am in Orlando, Florida, and the temperature got below 40 last night, which for a Floridian is like, you know, burn the furniture, do whatever we can to get warm. Meanwhile, all the tourists are walking around in shorts and short sleeve shirts like,
Yeah. Well, we've been about 15 degrees Celsius below zero. So, you know, when you complain about just touching the freezing mark, I don't really have too much sympathy for you.
No, I imagine you would not. That was not a boast I shared. It was a confession.
It sounded like one, okay? But we'll move past it and let's get on to the more positive.
Let's get on this stuff. All right, Spitter, you got it. And next, she is an actress who joins us to discuss the role of the tumultuous Paige. Please welcome Lauren Collins.
Hey everyone, tumultuous. I like that.
Yeah, you know, you got, and that, we'll get into that, but it's true. But yeah, I think that's one of the things about the show, and then how it endeared to was it was not a Canadian version of Saved by the Bell. There was some real stuff going on here.
Yeah, we went there, as they say.
You went there, you went back, and then you went to another theirs. And before we get into that, let's bring into somebody who was there from the very, very beginning. He is an actor and director who joins us today to discuss the role of student and later principal Archibald Rupert Simpson, better sometimes known as Snake. Please welcome Stephen Brogan.
Oh, hello. You're in my house.
Oh,
cheers. Cheers, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Stephen Brogan, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everybody. That was my humor for the day.
It's all good, boss. How are you doing in your part of the world?
Great. Yeah, we're all, you know, like Shane said, it's freaking cold here. So, you know, I'm sorry that it's crappy in Florida, but it's crappier here.
It's no beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, the beach isn't as close. I'm in the middle.
Oh, actually, you're in Orlando. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna drive. We have artificial beaches at the resorts, but as a local, I'm not allowed to go to them. This is for the tourists only. Oh, nice. So I'll leave it at that. Well, friends, welcome to the GalaxyCon virtual stage. So glad to have you here. Our team is going through the chat room right now, pulling out the questions for you. In the meantime, I just like to throw this out for each of you. What was the craziest day that you had on the set?
Probably for me, my first day, because I walked in and was like, what the heck is my life right now? It was by far the biggest role that I'd ever landed and still is. So yeah, I think the first day walking in being like, okay, we're doing this. This is real.
There were some long, stressful days. There were some rainy days. There were some cold days, but nothing quite matched Lauren. That day on the beach with the water fights, and we were filming like a beach volleyball scene and much more. And it was supposed to be like pretty warm outside, except for some reason it was like 5 degrees Celsius. Not sure the Fahrenheit conversion, maybe around 45. And
it's not right.
And we're walking around barefoot. The sand was so damp and cold. We were aching up to our knees. And then when we had to warm up, we were sitting by a propane heater, but because we were soaked from the water, it evaporated all the water, shot up our noses. Three of us or four of us got instant sinus headaches.
Oh, how do you remember that?
I remember that because it's one of the most traumatizing days of my life.
Yeah, that was a really, it's funny that we were just talking about Toronto and its lack of beaches, because why they wrote a beach scene into the show.
Yeah. and they didn't write all the dead fish that we kept finding along the beach that day.
I was just going to say, I remembered something about dead fish.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
I was wearing a crocheted bikini. I remember that very clearly.
Oh, we all remember that.
I remember those too, and I, you know.
Yeah, that was a day. That was season. That was Pride. That's what episode that was, right?
Yes,
that was a Domino's big episode. I was gonna say, so this is sort of maybe I don't know, a different way of thinking about the question, but craziest day on the set for me was when we all went back to the set recently.
Oh yes,
to shoot the Drake music video. That was a crazy day on the set, because never in a million years did I think that we would be back there doing that. So that was very wild, and it was kind of like getting to go back to your high school and, you know, have like a drunken reunion without all your teachers.
Did you want to hear mine? It's a good one. Okay, so this is the craziest thing I remember, and it was Shanae and I were shooting a scene where she had to cut her hair. I don't know if I should be even saying this, but it was like, it was a bad day. And Shanae is supposed to throw the scissors down after she cuts her hair. And we had a pair of scissors that were just for cutting hair and one that was just a prop. And I remember her having the scissors that were just, that were really super sharp to cut her hair. And she's supposed to throw it down, and she threw it right into her leg. Yeah. And it was a major, and that, you know, listen, accidents happen all the time on sets, but this was something you just couldn't foresee, you know? Yeah. And I just remember, as they were getting Shanae patched up, the calls went out for Aubrey, because they're like, oh, well, we need to shoot some Jimmy scenes. And so everyone's like, where's Aubrey? Where's Jimmy? We got to get Jimmy on set. And that for me was the craziest day I remember, because everyone was like really concerned about Shanae, and also, where's Drake? You know, so we could get the job done. But for me, that was...
Didn't she?
Yeah.
How deep did they actually go in?
I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't look. Because one of the things that I just remember is that when she threw the scissors down on... But they, you know, every time she would, in rehearsal, she'd throw the scissors down, you'd hear a big sort of like metal clank. And then when that one time when she threw it down, we didn't hear anything.
Oh my God.
Oh, she hit the pillow. Oh, wait.
Oh my God. She was such a champ though. I'm sorry. But like I would have been a mess personally. So she took it great. But that's the day I won't forget, because I was like, we're also the safest set in a lot of ways. And I was really just surprised it's just one of those things you don't see happening.
Yeah.
So
I don't remember a lot of, you know, trips to the hospital or, you know, accident reports.
Well, Miriam put her hand through.
That was really early on, through the glass, right?
She was trying to close the door or like slam a door shut, but she put her hand right on the glass window instead of the wood part. I think that's on her, really.
But so listen, 9 times out of 10, like we were put into safety situations that were excellent. You know, like it's usually, it's like we wouldn't get they wouldn't want you on a skateboard if they could avoid it. So
an amazing stunt coordinator, Allie Reed, right? Allie Reed. Who I think also acted as a stunt double for like at least 10 of us. I know she was mine, she was Damo's, she was Jake Goldsby's. It's kind of funny if you watch and look for those scenes. It's the same person doing all of us.
Yeah.
I brought everyone down with the sad story, but it's not even that sad. It's just scary.
it's something you can look back at it now and have, you know, and so these things happen. These things are going to happen, and that's showbiz, and that comes with it. And we actually are good to go on our audience questions. So thank you for indulging my capricious curiosity. Let's go ahead and dive into our first one. And here's one from Allie, who wants to know, what do you hope Degrassi fans took from the show?
Maybe just learn the lessons from our show instead of making those same mistakes, because our characters did some seriously messed up stuff.
Yeah, ditto. if you watch every Degrassi episode and you do the exact opposite that the characters do, you'll cruise through life. It will be fine. Yeah.
I don't know. I hope the fans took... I found that in my interactions with fans over the years, they really... they really feel like they know us, like they went to school with us, with our characters, yeah. Like they were really just kind of like embedded in the world. So, you know, I hope they take away some kind of friendship or kinship, you know, someone to relate to who's maybe gone through something similar to what they're experiencing. I hope that that's what they take away. That's what I seem to notice. People yeah. take away from the show.
Change my answer to that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd like to say also, I hope that they, you know, a show that's, you know, so based around what's happening in the world of, you know, teenagers and issues, that they still found it extremely entertaining and super fun to watch. This is, you know, we always come up on the side of issues and so forth when people talk about the show, but it's a great show. It's a super fun show to watch. Like, you know, and you go back and you watch Paige's adventures. It's super like you don't have to worry about the issue. You're just watching Lauren's adventure through Degrassi, you know? So mm-hmm. it's always been a show about the issue, but it's a goddamn fun show at the same time.
Like, one of the episodes, you know, it's such a huge cast and we all kind of cross paths at some point, but one of the episodes that Melissa, Shane and I sort of featured heavily in together was that crazy Ferris Bueller.
Oh my episode. God.
That was so silly and fun. And I remember some very funny behind the scenes stories from that episode in particular, like me basically breaking the car that we were using, getting a license. But yeah, you're right. Like there were so many lighter moments that I think do kind of get forgotten about.
Yeah. And even with like the story, you know, but even if you're taking on a heavy story, you're watching it, you can watch it as entertainment at a level that I think is really, really high. And, you know, that has a lot to do with the performances of these guys and the stories that we were telling, but there are characters in there that people fell in love with beyond their issue. You know, I mean, you're watching, you know, these guys go through the terrible times, but it's those times in between where you're, you know, I think we're really building a fan base when we're just having them, you know, be those characters in that school, you know?
Yeah, they did an excellent job of walking that line right between entertaining and educational and informative. It
yeah. was
the perfect mix, which is why it resonated so well with people.
And listen, we had a lot of romances on the show and people, like, right. Listen, when you have an ensemble cast, you got 20 people to ship, right? So it's like, you got so many people that you can go, that's the one I love, that's the one. And people, I think, would come in also because they want to see these relationships bloom or fall apart.
Yeah, very, very true. Yeah, Shade, I echo you. I think, yeah, maybe people at those very special episodes, those arcs got burned into it too. But again, the curious thing about it was that the humor and the generosity and everything else had a very unique balance, which was not common for a show. You would have, especially in teen dramas, though, okay, we'll focus on the comedy. Once a blue moon, we'll have a one that goes on to that side of the spectrum. But
a special episode. Or
yeah, exactly. Or something like that. But I was really found, it was a perfect juggling act. And I think the longevity of the series is a testament to that. So very much so. Oh. And Allie, thank you very much. That was a wonderful question to start us off with. What do we have next? From Aaron, where do you think each of your characters would be today?
Somebody else is going first on this.
Okay, I'll go. So I answer this question a lot. I just came up with my own little postscript narrative to Spinner riding off into the sunset with Emma. So they do have a home in the country up north, the quintessential white picket fence, all that. They have a few animals, dogs, cats, two horses, actually. They have three kids. But late at night when Emma goes to Spinner's skull, thinks.
Where's this going?
Thinks about what his life might have been had Jane never been so selfish to cheat and lie and cheat some more and lie some more. And they might text back and forth, but nothing has ever happened because he's not that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. He's been cheated on, he would never cheat himself. And that's where he stands right now. He sold the dot.
There you go.
Did Spinner own the dot at one point? Like, is that?
No, it wasn't his to sell. So it's still.
He sold it.
He didn't quite understand that part of it. It's like, you're just a manager here. You have no.
I don't. It's funny because people do ask this question a lot, and I don't know that I've come up with a great answer for it. But I think Paige probably is like, you know, just like a super successful, badass corporate woman. Like, she is a business woman. I don't know what empire she is running, but she's got one. That's for sure. And I kind of imagine her being single. I think maybe she, I don't know, is raising a kid on her own. That seems like something Paige would take on. No challenge was too big. So I think she's kind of, she's running things.
Lauren, when you came back for the sort of like the reunion episode in Next Class, that did you think about these things? That was Next Class, right? That was
Adamo and I like literally couldn't even tell you what the scene was about. I can't remember. And it was only like 5 years ago. So, but I feel like that was sort of the vibe then too. Like we had made amends, Adamo, Marco, and Paige. And you know, that I think is an important post Degrassi story for Paige, that they would make up and their friendship is okay. Yeah. And she just seemed like a really, you know, important businesswoman with like a lot of things to do. A lot of Zoom meetings.
We had a scene together in that reunion episode. Right?
Yeah, we did.
Right, and we were imparting our wisdom on the younger generation. Mm-hmm. Oh, you think that's a problem? One time, I got shot.
Right, exactly. We're like, we know what trauma at Degrassi is. Okay.
And if you survive, you can survive. Bye.
And I think we are all still friends, probably. You know. Yeah.
I think Mr. Simpson, since, you know, Next Class ended in 2017, he's had several years where there hasn't been a shooting. There hasn't been any, no one's had to have an abortion. No one's had, there's been no violence in the school. He's had several years of just having the best experience as principal because all these guys are gone now. And it's just like, wow, kids are not all terrible. You know?
Oh my God, that's really funny to think. And then the pandemic hits.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Simpson is just like living the life. And then all of a sudden, COVID.
That's what they found out, that it was actually, Degrassi was fine. It was just like 2 years, to a cohort of students that were horrible and ruined
everything. Oh, yeah, for sure. They're all on screen right now.
Principal Simpson, we had a student that was tardy today.
I'm flying.
Write him up.
That's okay. Sorry you're late.
We actually had to serve one detention today. I hope that's all right.
Your shows for like the next 20 years or so. Actually, I've never actually really thought about it until just now. I feel like she was maybe, I think she got married and maybe like teaches music lessons out of her house or something like that. Like something really, something a little, you know, quieter. Because she had enough loud going on. But yeah, I think it'd just be something kind of quaint and small, but nice, you know?
Sure.
Does she still have the hat that she brought back from England?
Of course she does. Yeah. Probably framed in a shadow box, like over her bed or something. Yeah. Pardon me?
Has she forgiven?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
It's been a lot of years. I think so. I think she's happy and settled down and just, yeah.
Okay. Is she now microdosing ecstasy?
Freaking hope not.
She's like, you know, it wasn't that bad. I just did little bits.
That's why her life is so happy. She just like, she's like, I figured out the secret to
it. It wasn't the drug that was wrong. It was the timing. I was too young to know now.
There you go.
That is so wild, but that was a season one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
13 years old, weren't you guys? 13 or 14?
We were playing 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
We're all the same age, so we were 15, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
At the end of the season too, yeah.
Well, there you have it, Aaron. Great question. Thank you. What do we have next? And here's one from Michelle. What was your favorite storyline that you were a part of?
Cool.
Hey, Lord.
There's so many. It's like you got to go through the whole.
I think
for me, it was certainly the rape storyline and just being able to carry it through several seasons and see not necessarily a conclusion to it, because I don't think it's something that concludes in your life, but just to have it not just be those early episodes in season two, to see how it affected Paige really throughout her entirety, you know, like the whole time we knew her. I think a lot about the Ghost in the Machine episodes from season 4 with Shane. Those were some of my favorite episodes to film and some of the episodes I'm the most proud of. Again, it, you know, it's hard not to get heavy when you're talking about the show, but the response to those episodes and the people that I've spoken to who were moved by it and connected to it, obviously that means the world to me. So that's the big one for me.
Fair.
I still have nightmares about that slap in the face, by the way.
I'll get you.
I gotta say, I really enjoyed when, because Mr. Simpson is sort of like supposed to be the, you know, the person you come to, and when to have him sort of fuck up. I'm sorry, are we allowed to use language on here?
You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, okay, great. Hey. Okay. For the children.
I can say whatever the guests say.
Oh, okay.
It's off.
When Simpson was caught fooling around when he was a teacher, and he was caught fooling around with his hot sulacos, it was so great because it just showed him being a human being that was like, can be flawed. And I really enjoyed my scenes with Miriam where she catches me and I'm lying to her. I'm trying to like cover and get her not to tell Spike. And I just felt that was such a fun moment to like show him. Anytime where Simpson got to be like not perfect or a teacher, yeah. You know, I remember one point he was drunk on a couch, like covered, like eating hot dogs because he'd been like, he had to leave school because of the Shanae storyline. And those are so fun. They're just fun to like sort of break out of your character. And like Lauren was saying, it affects your character going forward also, right? To see where that character goes afterwards is always really fun. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites, and it's really kind of silly, was the boys in the band and Ashley being like the little Yoko Ono. I just thought it was really fun. Yeah, there's really nothing more to it than that. I just thought it was really, really hilarious. The boys just trying to push her out. She's just trying to weasel her way in.
What about the time you had to dress up as Elvis? Didn't you dress up as Elvis at one point?
There were a lot of outfits, yeah.
You're like, definitely don't bring it up.
Yeah, yeah. And that wasn't the first time on a stage that I've been dressed as Elvis either. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, hello, grade school performance.
That was the Hell Hath No Fury episode, wasn't it? I remember... Really? No. The Elvis competition was completely different.
No, yeah, Elvis was like at the mall or something.
And weren't we kind of making fun of everyone wearing the Elvis outfits and one person who was like a serious impersonator?
Yeah.
Very, very pissed off at that. Arrogant kids like, look at all these rhinestones. Look at that. Look at him. Look at him. And like, could these kids please stop making fun of my life's work over here?
Yeah. Oh, it was, yeah. We were kids. We didn't mean it.
No, we weren't often little brats, but sometimes.
Sometimes. Well, just get to talking. And if, like, when you overhear any conversation and you take something out of context, well, it wasn't taken out of context. with me, for storylines, obviously, because I'm self-centered and ego-tripping, and anything that featured Spinner was great for me. But the swan song, my final episode, Degrassi Takes Manhattan, was so special for so many reasons, especially because you knew I was in the end game and that was going to be it, aside from maybe a cameo or two that would come afterwards. So that was a great send off. And then the cancer storyline, obviously, took a lot out of me, and there were some very long days and went home very, very sore and came back tired in the morning. But it was, you know, still some of the most special moments of my life. So yeah,
you were so incredible too, like to see how you grew as an actor from those early episodes to, you know, where you got with that storyline. I mean, just as like a peer, that was, you know, very exciting to watch. And I think we all felt very proud of the work that you did in that.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I'll pay you $100 after.
No, I mean it. We don't have to say these things to each other, you know, so. Sure.
Thank you.
And Michelle, thank you for a wonderful question. What do we have next? And here's one from May. What were your favorite unscripted moments that may have been kept in the show?
There was a scene, I feel like Shane is also the encyclopedia of like, remembers everything. It's crazy. There was a scene that we shot at the Dot. who was it? It was like our little crew. It was me, Adamo, Andrea, you, I assume Aubrey, and we were having, Phil must have been directing, and we were having like hysterical giggle fits.
Yes.
And they kept it.
It's right before Spinner forces Marco to come out to him in the alleyway, right behind the dot. That was we were laughing about the marinara sauce, and and Phil kept telling us like, look, we're not going from 0 to 100 as soon as we call action. I want you guys laughing beforehand. So we were just coming up with the most ridiculous things to laugh at, and I think we settled on marinara sauce or however.
That was it, right? He wanted to start the scene with a laugh.
Yeah.
And then it basically just like once someone got the giggles, like we were all toast. That's a favorite. That's definitely one that sticks out for me.
Yeah, until McNeil would come in and just put the kibosh on all of that.
Oh, sweet McNeil. Oh my God, our third AD. He talking about the little brats, he really got the brunt of that. Poor guy. Such a nice guy.
He really did. Yeah.
He lost it on us a couple of times.
and we deserved it. We full out deserved it every single time. Well, 95% of the time.
Who's got another one that they can recall?
We're talking about things that like just made it in the episode that were
something's off the cuff, improv, you know, the happy accidents.
When Simpson was the media immersion teacher, and I didn't really like, I mean, what is media immersion now? It's not the same thing. It was like literally like, I think motherboards were the big thing back then because I don't know what else we were talking about. I would just talk crap and hopefully just hope that it would make it in. If I look back, I'm sure I'm saying a lot of things that aren't real about computers. So I don't know, but that was my whole thing. Whenever I was like, you know, they would give me these like long appendixes, they're called at the end of the script. It's like just gibberish that you're saying. But I just never memorized them. And I would just start saying stuff about computers that were like, computers, they're important. They're really important to have their everyday life.
There was one line in the, they cut out right on the big laugh. Now, Lauren, you would remember this as well. This is back to our incredible day on the beach when we were also being directed by Phil. That might have been the first time we were directed by Phil, or one of the first times. And
no, yeah,
Phil came in and, oh, yeah, right. Did he come in season two or season three?
He did the
shout-out. That's right. Okay, so maybe it was our first episode filming with Phil in season three. Well, whatever it was, when we pulled up and we were taking all of our picnic stuff out of the back of the van, Phil's like, you know, like, guys, make some comments about the articles that you're pulling out. Like, where the, like, pass me the marshmallows. And we're like, marshmallows?
Marshmallows, yeah.
Well, you say that again, you're like, yeah, marshmallows. We're like, okay, that's great, Phil. Okay. So then when we're pulling everything out, we close up the car and we start walking away. And I turn back, I'm like, hey, wait, did we grab the marshmallows? And everyone and they cut it right there. Stephanie, you'll also remember this one in Degrassi Kids, Manhattan. There was a scene where Spinner and Emma decide that they don't want to split up yet, and Spinner takes her over to like his little of all his, you know, the pictures of his family and all the memories that have made him who he is.
It's like a memory box on your wall, right?
Exactly, pretty much a shrine to Spinner, and his testicle is embalmed in like it might have been in a like it was a hardened case, like someone
You know, Shane, you should probably also add, just in case people don't know that episode, that you had testicular cancer. It's not like he kept his testicles on the wall.
That's not where you keep yours? But yes.
Yes.
Spinner did lose a testicle to cancer earlier in a couple seasons prior. And apparently they let him keep this one just, you know, for as a keepsake. And as they're panning across all the items on the shelves, you can just see it there. I think what was it, a walnut? Did we use a walnut?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I was just like, well, that's
you didn't feel, it felt like a walnut to it.
I didn't feel it either, Shane.
Why was I the only one feeling
it? Scissors and walnuts. This is the show. And everybody is saying pasta sauce in the chat room.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's the sauce.
That's sauce. Ah, Melissa, you got a moment?
I just, literally any time that we had any scenes as a group in the cafeteria, I couldn't give you anything in anything in particular, but it was always just like, it was just a shit show of a group of teenagers who have too much energy just sitting around. And like, again, McNeil, poor guy, like trying to wrangle a group of us together and like keep a professional like air to the room. Like he had his work cut out for him. Like I feel like I owe him a big bottle of Jack Daniels or something.
I am honestly, like, I'm on the verge of like crying laughing because you just reminded me of the food fight scene.
Oh yeah.
Shane, you have to remember Jake Goldsby with the Joe Louis in the ear. Do you remember that? I'm deaf. I can't hear anything.
Was he serious though? He was he was really, oh man,
Joe Louis, like, oh. Like in here. It was really funny though. It was really, really funny.
Can I tell a funny Jay Goldsby story?
Please. Oh, please.
So when first season, we realized that, and I've been on the show since I was 13, so I kind of recall having this conversation about us, that they wanted to keep the cast off sugar at lunch because everyone would drop so hard afterwards because they were trying not to have any sort of sweets on set. Mm. And I don't know if you guys remember this because it lasted, I think, about 6 minutes. But they were like, we can't have sugar on set. And I just remember Jay Goldsby coming out of his dressing room and looking at me. He's like, it was at lunch. He's like, hey, Stefan. I'm like, hey, yeah, Jake. He's like, and he pulls out one of those pixie sticks. He's like, want to hit?
Oh my God.
I was like, oh, shit. You know, I don't know. He's like, come on, we're all doing it.
You're like, what are these kids? It wasn't all of it. It was Miriam. Miriam
was out of control.
She, when we had to go back to tutoring, she did not sit in her seat. She stood up.
She was always just standing. She didn't like to sit.
It was insane. She was like standing at a 90 degree fold.
Yeah.
Over the desk because she had so much energy. And remember, back in those days, she probably weighed like 80 pounds. She was so skinny. And as soon as she ate anything, she was bouncing off the walls. I'd never seen anything like that.
Singing Shakira at lunch. She was obsessed with Shakira and the sugar did not help.
Before we get too far off topic with the cafeteria, do you remember the Degrassi mini that we shot, the parody of Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes.
Melissa, that is one of my all-time favorite moments. Any reaction that you have is when at the end, when Jake Epstein tries to kiss you and you're just like, no. He was the gross pirate, the pirate that's kept below deck, like just... you know, water or whatever. Don't worry, Ashley. I'll save you.
Oh my God, nailed that. I loved doing those minis. They were so much fun. Like Stefan, like you were saying, where like you got to just, you were still in character, but it was just like a different version of yourself. I felt like those minis were very much that, where we just got to do something that we would never normally get to do. Not that we didn't do a lot of stuff, but like just little storylines and little bits that we would never have normally done on the regular show to just have so much fun. Those were some of my fondest memories we're doing.
Oh, well, that's what the minis were all about.
I was going to say, Stefan, we have a new panelist. Introduce us.
But that was also Stefan, when you got to do something you hadn't done before. That was the first time you directed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to write a whole bunch of them. So the whole point of them was just to like have us do things that, because they didn't give us any rules. They just said like, hey, they need to be 2 minutes each. What are they? What's going on? Like, you can do whatever you want. And so we would do things like, I think, didn't we do one where Paige was Liberty and Liberty was Paige? So Liberty
was the first one that we did. And I was
right.
My water breaks and we had to, it was so gross because the camera wasn't picking up my water breaking. We had just like Pepsi.
It was so gross.
Oh my God. Yeah, like, how you directed like, and it was,
Emma would be like Jay. And I was like, you know, that was honestly some of the first stuff I directed. I look back at it, but we were also directing, we're also shooting them to be on Nokia phones back then. So it wasn't even like an Apple. Like we were, in our mind, we're going like, the screen's this big, so it's just gotta be talking heads. So there wasn't a lot you could do about it really, you know?
I pitched an idea and I'm still to this day a little sour that it wasn't picked up because Spinner was known for all the different hairstyles. And I wanted it to just be like a normal scene, Spinner talking to Paige, Spinner talking to Jimmy. But every time it went back to Spinner's close-up, he had a different hairstyle every single time.
That would have required a budget. They didn't have a budget. They're like, off mud funds. They'd be like, here's a camera, do what you can. Until we got to Degrassi of the Dead, and then they gave us a little bit more money to fool around with. So
that was so fun.
Yeah,
so crazy. May, great question. What's the name of our new furry friend here?
Oh, he just got shoved in my face right now because he's being bad. This is RoboCop.
Oh my god. Oh my god, Stefan.
He's so dumb. He's the dumbest dog in the whole world. He's so dumb. I know him so much. He's such a dummy. He's such a dummy. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The whole idea was that if we got another dog, I was allowed to name him. So I said, if we're going to get a dog, I'm calling him something that would, I didn't think it would fly, but since he's going to be called RoboCop, and my wife went for it. So
there you have it.
Makes no sense, but you know.
Yeah, it's all good. Now, we have learned that our audiences on our virtual stage just love it when pets get involved. So it's just a standing rule that we see a furry walk by, we bring him on the show. And
excellent.
I think we have time for one or two more. Let's see what we got next. And here's one from Jolene. If you wanted to be a contestant on a game show, past or present, what would you like to be on?
Jeopardy.
Family Feud.
Oh, that's a good one.
Could do a Degrassi Family Feud. That would be really good.
I was actually saying to my husband the other day how I wanted to go on Family Feud.
You just freaked me out when you just said husband out of the blue. That's a year. We're still
married.
I know. We're still 16 at heart.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it doesn't work because I have a husband, and it's not a game show. It's a reality show. But I'm a diehard Bachelor fan, so I don't know. Bachelor in Paradise. Why not?
Yeah, there you have it. No, I don't know if they still do it now, but I remember back in the 70s, 80s, they would have the whole casts on Family Feud. Like, here's the cast of Dukes of Hazzard versus the cast of the Love Boat. So
they still do.
They do celebrity. They have Family Feud in Canada, and they have Celebrity Family Feud. So God knows, now that you put it out into the world, this is probably going to happen.
I'll do it.
I really hope it does.
Let's do it. It's a team right here.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Jolene, fun question. Thank you. I think we have time for one more. Let's go out on a really fun one. And here's one from Pam. If you guys were all in a band, what would be your band name?
Okay, well, we have members of the Zit Remedy. We have members of
Downtown Sasquatch.
PMS. Hell Hath No Fury. I don't know. What's some...
Oh, no.
Are we trying to do like a mishmash of all that?
Wow.
The Sasquatch Remedy? No, that's terrible.
The Zits have...
PMS Remedy?
The PMS Remedy?
PMS
Remedy.
Marshmallow pasta sauce.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's a tough one, man.
It is. We get this one a fair amount.
Marshmallow pasta sauce. I like that.
I think we always forget that how much people love the bands of Degrassi, though. Also, like, they take them to heart, and they really do have their favorites. So it's a good question. It's lots of music.
Yeah, it's hard to come up with. They're just so different, and there's so many words to combine. No, it's gonna be tough. Well,
they're all
put a pin in this and then come back.
They're all not very good.
Yeah. What? Stooges was amazing.
I think PMS was the best. I think when Paige sings her song about her experience, that's killer. That's great.
That's a good band with a message. PMS was, well, I guess whatever PMS sort of was before with Ashley, that was probably the best version because Melissa actually has a wonderful voice and can sing, unlike the rest of us who can't. But. Yes.
No, we heard you. You got a voice. I appreciate how much glitter PMS was just committed to. All the
rabbit masks, but whatever. Sure. Yeah.
Well, Pam, there you have it. And GalaxyCon viewers, this has been my time with the cast of Degrassi. This has been an absolute delight. Any final words before we take our leave?
Just want to say thanks, everyone, for coming and hanging out with us. And hopefully we'll see some faces in the next little bit. And it was really nice to just be in the same chat room with some old friends as well. It's been a while.
Yeah, we don't get to see each other often and catch up and talk about the show, even though it was such a huge part of our lives. So thank you so much to GalaxyCon for having us and for everyone who's part of the chat. We can't see you, but we know you're there and we appreciate you. This has been really fun.
Yeah, everything Melissa and Lauren said, repeated, and also to all the fans, the longer it's been since I was on the show, and I'm sure I speak for everyone.
as he freezes up.
And then he
freezes.
Oh my God, that is amazing. That's the best thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
Wait, what happened? Did I freeze?
What did you say?
I was just saying that the longer it's been since we were on the show, the more it puts it all in perspective of how special it was. And you, the fans, just that you keep it alive and you just keep, you know, those juices flowing, keep it special. So thank you to all of you. And every time I get together with you folks, it's virtually or in person, it's amazing. So hopefully many more of these to come in the future.
Yeah, whenever I see these guys, I forget how much I'm in love with Degrassi Next Class and Next Generation, sorry.
Yeah,
Degrassi in general. But it is, and it reminds me also about how amazing our fans are. We have such a loyal fan base that, and everyone has their own class, you know, that's the greatest thing, is that everyone has their generation because it's been on for so long. And we adore you guys, an amazing fan base. And it means a lot to us that you still like to chat about the show. You know, it's a... You grew up with us, or you're growing up with us, because we do have younger fans that are discovering Next Generation for the first time. And we really adore you. It's one of those things that we don't talk about every day because we're not living Degrassi day to day. But when we have these moments, it almost gives me shivers sometimes just to go what a legacy the show has and has a lot to do with, like, Melissa and Shane and Lauren and definitely me. Anyways, we love you guys.
It has been my absolute delight to serve you all. Once again, thank you for joining us here on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Thank you to our audience for joining us, and thank you for your great questions. Hope to see everybody again soon. Until then, bye-bye, take care, and remember, smiles are free, so spend them often.
Thanks, Patty. Thanks.